We have been talking about walking in breakthrough. Last week we talked about the keys, all right? There are doors that God is going to open, close. There are doors that will shift in our lives. And that is what God wants to do, that He is the doorkeeper. He's going to be there to help us open doors, close doors, and even shift doors when we come to Him. All right, God is doing something in our midst. God is doing something in our midst, and we have to realize that, you know, He's opening doors, closing doors, shifting doors. And why? Because He wants to position us for the things that He has in store for us. Not things that we desire ourselves, but, you know, what He has in store for us. And so, some of you have already been testifying, you know, there's been breakthroughs, little breakthroughs coming. You see more and more breakthroughs coming in our life. How? We ask this question. How do we continue to walk in those breakthroughs? All right, today we're going to talk about unity, the power of unity, coming together. I read somewhere that, you know, a horse that is able to pull 1 ton of weight when put together pulls 25 tons. I also read in another article, and this one had a little bit more reference. In Canada, they have this horse pulling contest. They would have a cart and, you know, put weight on the ground, and these horses would just pull over a specific distance. And in this particular year, the winning horse pulled 9,000 pounds of weight across that distance. The runner-up pulled 8,000. And this was, you know, some time back, and someone was very curious and says, you know, if we put them together, how much weight would they pull? And this particular year, they put those two horses together, the champion and the runner-up. One that could pull 9,000, the other that could pull 8,000. Put them together, and over the same distance, those horses pulled more than three times, 31,000 pounds. More than three times what an individual horse could pull. The Bible tells us in Psalm, turn with me to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, the psalmist says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. How good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell, live together in unity. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can accomplish more with you. We do better. God is happier when we are united together. When we are united together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So what is unity? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And reading from verse 10. Need my specs. First Corinthians chapter 1. Oh. Verse 10 says this. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Here, Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and you know, they were a little bit messed up. The Corinth church were having some argument and all that. And Paul comes and he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. And what does he say? That you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you. Verse 11. Brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Alright, so what unity is not? You know, people are quarreling here. And what I mean is this. One of you says, hey, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. People are divided and they are arguing about which leader is greater. Who they want to follow. And Paul says, we need to come together in mind and in thought. So unity, first of all, needs to begin with us saying, choosing, deciding up here in our head that yes, this is what we want to do. We are not going to quarrel. We are not going to fight. We are going to be united. We are going to be one in our mind and in our thought. Let's go to another passage, Acts chapter 4. We'll come back to this in a bit. But Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts 4:32. We have read this passage many, many times. It says this, all the believers, all right? There was this shaking and tremendous thing that the Holy Spirit was doing. And verse 32 tells us that all the believers were one in heart and mind. One in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. So not only in their thoughts, but in their heart. They shared everything that they had. The possessions that they had. They begin to share them out. Another passage. I want to very quickly go through these passages. We have, you know, preached on these passages before. And so you have the idea of what it is. Second Chronicles. It's just a reminder for us. Chapter 20. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. And so there's this situation where the enemies, the Moabites and the Ammonites and all these otherites, were surrounding the Israelites. And verse 2 tells us that some people came, told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you. From Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea, it is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Alarm, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. All. He began to proclaim a fast for all Judah, and the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek Him. There was a coming together from the people. And so, they were, the Bible reminds us that in unity, we need to have one mind. We need to have one heart as well as one goal. Coming together for one purpose. And we'll talk a little bit about this passage further on. God's desire is for us to be united together. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 17 prays for us that we will be United. Turn to John chapter 17. Let's just read two verses from there. Verse 20. John 17, this is where Jesus prays for the disciples. My prayer is not for them alone, verse 20. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. What is that? What is his prayer? That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus prays that each one of us may be united as one. One final scripture or additional scripture to that. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3 says this. Make every effort, Paul says, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep unity. So it needs work. Unity requires effort. And Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians that you need to make every effort. So God's desire is for us to be united together. How many of you know that we can be together and still not united? Yeah. We can all come together and all of us, you know, belong to Gateway City Church, but we can still be doing our own thing. We need to come together. An illustration was given, you know, that there is a difference between union and unity. There is a difference between being together and being united. And this guy said this, you know, you can imagine if you take a cat and a dog, you tie the cat's tail and the dog's tail together, and you hang them over a clothesline. Okay? I read this now, okay? All you animal lovers will hate me after this. tie a dog's tail and a cat's tail together, hang them over a clothesline. Now, if you think about it, there's union, right? They are together. But one thing's for sure, they will not be united. They will be, you know, whacking each other and, you know, having a piece of each other. And you know, sometimes the church, that happens to us. We say that, hey, we are holding hands together, right? But at the same time, you know, you are clawing each other. And you read scripture time and time again. Paul reminds us throughout scripture that there are hindrances to unity. There are hindrances. That the main hindrance to unity is self-centeredness, the me and the mine. It's my way or no way. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? My way or no way. And Paul, in his letters to the churches, constantly says this, you know, stop all this backbiting, stop all this gossiping, stop all this complaining and murmuring, stop all this squabbling, all this unfaithfulness, stop it, because those things hinder the unity of the body of Christ. We've got to carry one another's burden. We've got to bear with one another. And that's what the Bible says. And today I want to I want us to focus on three things. Just three things that we need to do as we think about coming together and walking in that breakthrough. Number one is prayer. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Acts 4 and 24. We didn't read this passage early on. Okay. Okay, here's the scenario. All right? So Peter is, prison, right? And, he's there, he and John, they are before the council, and he's threatened, his life is threatened, right? And then, in verse 24, 23 onwards, we see that the believers come together, and they were praying, and God intervenes, right? And we just want to read from verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, okay, verse 24, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through your mouth and servant, your father David. Why do the nations rage? Okay, they begin to quote scripture and they begin to praise God in one accord. If you read the King James Version, all right, verse 24 says this: when they heard this, they raised their voices together in one accord. The word accord in Greek is a compound word. You know what a compound word is? No. Okay. Okay. Two words together. Give example. Okay. All right. So when two words come together to make one word, that's a compound word. All right. So lifesaver, necklace is a compound word. Shipwreck is a compound word. Okay. Armchair. Okay. And this word in the Greek, accord, is a compound word made out of two words. The first being to rush along. Okay? Hurry, 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 let's go. The second is the word unison, together. Alright? In unison. Alright? So in one accord, basically tells us that, together there is movement. They prayed and praised God in one accord. One of the things that Pastor Selena has been, she's been championing this, and I believe that this is something that the church needs to learn together, is how to pray in one accord. In unity. How do we pray in unity? Many times we say, let's pray for this, let's pray for that, okay, let's pray, okay. How many of you, I know, I don't put out your hand, guilty, you hear something and say, okay, we'll pray. After that, we never pray. We say, okay, I'll pray for you. Let's say, someone send a text, then we send emoji, praying hands, but then we never pray. We as a church, if we are to walk in breakthrough, if we are to continue to live the breakthrough that God wants to happen in our lives, we've got to come together and be in prayer in one accord. Upholding one another in one accord. So I want to challenge us. We have, because of, logistics, venue, and all that stuff, we have stopped our 6 hour overnight, you know, prayer kind of thing. We are praying, God, when are we, when do we need to install that back, you know, put that back? And we are going to in due time. But I want to challenge us, okay, first week of every month, first Friday of every month. That's our corporate prayer. Okay, we are meeting in EGA. We got special permission to just go in there 9 to 12. If you cannot come for 3 hours, come for, you know, 2.5 hours. If you cannot come for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, come for 3 hours. You know, that kind of thing. Just come and be together. One accord in prayer. 9 to 12. Because God wants to train us in that area. We want to see breakthrough. We want to continue to walk in breakthrough. It's not just us alone. We got to come together. Second thing. So the first thing is in prayer. All right. Second thing is this. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. I'm just using this passage as a springboard. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, yeah. And we read a bit of that already. And King Jehoshaphat, we saw that he proclaimed a fast for all. And that the people were together. There is a united vision goal. We mentioned earlier that, you know, what's unity? You know, this is it. People are moving together. One mind, one heart, one goal. My challenge for us is three things, okay, as a church. There are many more, but I want us to focus on these three things. Number one, prayer. Number two, vision. Vision and purpose. King Jehoshaphat said, you know, this is what we're going to do together. And everyone came together and they fasted and they prayed. Everyone came together and moved in one accord. Okay, keep your finger there. And let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 1. This is the Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, the Bible tells us that they were all together in one place. If you read the King James Version, it says that they were all together in one accord. They were all together in one accord, or in one accord, in one place. Okay. They were in unison, moving together in one place. One accord. Together, moving together. In one place. And here's the thing. As a church, I believe that there are many times that God challenges us. Hey, this is the direction that God wants us, you know, to press in, to move forward. You know, this season right now is breakthrough. Okay. We've got to, you know, ask God for keys, you know, ask Him to open door, close door, shift door, move door. And we need to begin to press in to walk in that breakthrough. Now, here's the thing. Okay? Prayer is one of them.
2, vision and purpose. As a church, we have to, in one accord, say, amen, this is what the Lord is doing. You know, I'm going to bang on heaven's door. I'm going to, you know, pray. I'm going to ask God, what is He doing with my life? Because breakthrough is right there. You know, sometimes we can, this happens to all of us, okay? You go to class, the lecturer comes, or the teacher walks in, and starts talking. And then after 40 minutes, you turn to your friend, oh, finish ready, What teacher say, Why? Because we plug our ears, right? Okay? Or we are doodling, or we are drawing, or, you know, we are reading something else, take comics to school. You do that, right? No. You're very good, You take comics to school and you read comics. Take the textbook there and put the comics in front of the textbook. You all never do such thing, Okay. Thank you for your confession. Now no more, WhatsApp, Not supposed to take phone to school, but still got everybody take phone to school. And there is no unity in purpose. And we can do that in church. We come to church, same thing happens. We come to church, God speaks, and we're like, oh, what's for dinner? And we go back, and then nothing happens. The moment we walk out of this place, we forget what God wants to do. In order to be united together, we've got to say, God, how can each one of us be in one accord in vision and purpose? How do we do that? Number three things. Number three, let's go back to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 20. And the story, God comes, God intervenes, right? And they praise God because of the victory. In verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. The night before that, there was prayer and fasting, and the revelation of God comes upon him. He says that victory is given to you. Victory belongs to the Lord. God is going to fight for you. And he goes out. The next morning, he gathers everybody and he says this, have faith. Have faith in the Lord your God. Have faith in the prophets and you will be successful. God's going to do something. We need to have faith in him. And God is going to use people, the prophets, as they speak into our lives. Have faith in what God is saying. Let's be submitted to that, to God and to God's anointed. So three things that God wants us to really hold together in unity. Unity does a couple of things to us. It encourages us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this, right? Consider how you can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This is encouragement. This is, challenging each other, spurring one another. That's what unity does to us. There is power in that. And a lot of times we are very scared. We fear the nudge. We fear people come and say, hey, come on, let's go. We don't want that.
But the Bible tells us that's what unity does to us. It brings forth encouragement in our lives. Unity brings forth people helping one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says this, two are better than one. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's turn to that. All right. Okay, the Hebrews one, don't you turn? You already know that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's read that. Verse 9. Says this. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Okay, remember we started off by saying, you know, two horses can pull much, much more than just one. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Unity brings help to one another. It brings encouragement. It brings challenge. It brings help. And finally, it brings strength. I want to end with this illustration. When you sat down, there's a pencil there, that's you. Yeah. Ask one strong guy to come up. Then strong guy. Big, strong, and... Why you laugh? Big, strong, correct? Okay. Okay. Mana, give me a pencil. Everybody got a pencil? Wave your arm. Wave your arm. Okay. Okay, I'm up. Okay. Wait, take his pencil away from me. Now, this is what the devil does to us. Okay. He takes us. Okay, I'm going to ask him to play the devil's advocate right now. He's not, Don't walk away from this place and say he's the devil. He takes us, okay, and when we are alone, what he does is, he does everything in his power to break us.
Ooh.
And you know, when we are alone, this is what the devil does to us. He comes and he puts discouragement. He puts fear. He brings us to situations whereby, this is what happens to us. And it's very easy to just, you know, laugh about it. But you know what God does is he puts us together. He pieces us back in our broken state, makes us new again. Keeps us up. And this is what he does to us. He mends our brokenness. Okay? I know this is not a really good example because, you know, the pencil still looks broken. But that's what he does to us. He mends us. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that he wants us to be in one accord. That means he wants us to come together and be together, be together, be together. Come together. Come on. Come together. Those of you who want to come together, come. Come. Those of you who are, you know, want to come quickly, come together. Come. Come together.
the thing. Okay? There are 30 of us, and he arranges us.
He arranges us according to our gifting, right?
And this is what he does. First, he binds us together with his love. Right.
And we are, when we are together, right, he says, nah, devil, you break lah. You know, the devil looks at it, and here's the thing, you saw his expression or not? The devil looks at it and says, I won't even attempt. Thank you very much. And here's the thing. You know, how many of you want to, you know, go back to being yourself? You know, a lot of times, because of our selfishness, you know, the devil looks at this and says, hey, there's no way I can break this, you know. But you stand alone. And sometimes we are so self-centered that we say, hey, I don't want to do this. It just takes too much of my time, takes too much of my comfort. You know, oh, I got to pray until 12 o'clock. Sleepy. You know, ask God for grace. Right. I got to come together. I could just go church camp. You stay home alone. There is tremendous power in unity. And many times we don't realize that. And we think that, hey, God has, you know, yeah, we'll given us gifts or what, and we rally as many as possible. But it needs to be more than just that. We as a church need to come together and say, yes, we need the encouragement, because that's what unity does. We need the nudging, the spurring one another. We need the help. We need the strength together. And right now, as God is speaking, we need to come together to say, yes, I will unite in one accord, in prayer, in vision, and in faith. Because whatever God has placed in us, when we come together as one, and I quote him, right? Nothing the devil sends through those gifts will break us. Let's bow our heads right now. As we bow our heads, I want to encourage us to just ask God to search our hearts right now, and maybe may we be submitted to Him and say, God, if we have tried to stand alone, I'll be with the group whenever I can, whenever I'm free. God is challenging us to come together in one accord, as one. Let's come before Him and say, God, forgive me for the times whereby I've been self-centered. I've just wanting to do my own thing. And ask God to refresh a new vision, a new call of faith, prayer, as His desire is for us to walk in breakthrough. Let us be united in doing that. Father, we ask for a release right now, once again, of Your grace, Your provision,
most of all, your presence upon us. Lord, that you would challenge us and spur us and help us to understand what it means to be in one accord. What it means to be together in one accord. What it means to be praying in unity. What it means to have the same united vision and purpose. What it means, oh God, to have our faith united together. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would grow us, that you would empower us as we seek to glorify you as one. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand and do what he challenged us to do? Feel the vibration.
I want us to don't just do it because, you know, Lance tells us to do it. But here, as we have prayed, let's make this our commitment to God and to one another. As we shout as one, we would unite our hearts in one accord. As one. Because, take this back, nothing can break us. We've got each other covered when we come together as one. Amen. So we're going to go 1, 2, 3 as one. Okay. Swing it with all your might. Shout out with all your might. And make that commitment that we are one. United as one. Ready?
1, 2, 3. As one!
Bless your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.